This message is given in the name of Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, today's sermon title is Trust God's Word and Witnesses. Simply put, there are two reasons we know that Jesus rose from the dead. First, we know that Jesus is alive because Scripture, God's Word, says that Jesus did rise from the dead. When you think about it, there's tons of history books out there that have been written over the years. And unless it can be shown that the books are obviously wrong, for example, let's say that somebody wrote a history book about the American Revolutionary War and they said that England won the war. Well, we would know that person didn't know what he was talking about. The reason is we have lots of other history books that give us accurate details about how that war actually turned out. The same is true for other historical events. We have lots of history books that give us lots of information about the past, stuff that we trust unless we have good reason not to trust it. It's the same with Scripture. Not only is Scripture an extremely accurate historical document that has never been proved wrong, but unlike any other books, Scripture itself is inspired by God's Word, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moved the Old Testament prophets and New Testament apostles to write what He led them to write so that we and other people of various ages could know the truth about what happened in history. When God's Son came down to earth to be born, live, die, and rise again and ascend to heaven for us and for our salvation. So that's the first reason we know that Jesus is alive. God's Word says so. Scripture teaches us this truth. And nothing is more reliable and certain than God's own Word. Secondly, God also gave us testimonies from many people who were eyewitnesses of Jesus' teaching and miracles and death and resurrection and ascension. And these eyewitnesses were willing to suffer and die for their testimonies, which proves that they were sincere and not lying. Because why would you die for a story you know you just made up? Therefore, even though we have not seen Jesus ourselves, we should trust God's Word and His witnesses because they are fully reliable. In fact, at the end of chapter 20 of John's Gospel, we read these words of the Apostle John. Listen to what he says. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Did you hear that? John says that Jesus did many miracles not recorded in the gospel that he wrote. John is probably speaking about all the miracles of Jesus recorded in the other gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And in addition, John mentions miracles of Jesus that the other three Gospels didn't mention. In fact, there were probably other miracles of Jesus that many people witnessed that are not even mentioned in any of the four Gospels. However, as the Apostle John said, the miracles of Jesus that are recorded in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were written down so that future generations of people could read about these miracles of Jesus and also know that many people witnessed those miracles and thereby conclude that Jesus really is who He claimed to be, the Son of God, who is also the promised Christ, that is, the Savior of sinners God promised in the Scriptures. Now, once you know that Jesus is who He claimed to be, that's when the Holy Spirit moves you to trust in Him as your Savior. You see, it's one thing to know that Jesus is risen. It's another thing to actually trust in Him. The devil knows that Jesus is alive, and he doesn't like it. But when we hear that Jesus is alive, The Holy Spirit moves us to trust in Him as our living Lord and Savior, who rescues us from death and damnation. Simply put, Holy Scripture is a reliable historical document that records the eyewitness testimonies of people who saw Jesus perform miracles, and those miracles prove that He was who He claimed to be, God in human flesh. And these same people saw Jesus suffer and die on a cross, and these same people, many of them, saw Jesus alive again. With that said, our reading for today is from Luke chapter 24. Two of Jesus' disciples were walking on a road leading to a city known as Emmaus. They were talking about Jesus' death. They maybe even recalled how Jesus had once told them that He would rise from the dead 3 days after His crucifixion. And so they're thinking, well, here it is, the third day, no Jesus, we haven't seen Him. Now, of course, these disciples were very sad. Why? Well, they doubted God's word, and they trusted their own reason and senses instead. Not only were they unwilling to believe that Jesus had risen from the dead as He had told them in advance that He would, they were also unwilling to believe that Jesus' death was part of God's plan to save them from their sins. Remember what they said to Jesus, even though they didn't recognize Him? They said, we thought He was the one who was going to redeem Israel. But what they thought about when they said redeem was rescue us from the Romans. They didn't realize that Jesus had come to redeem them from their greatest enemy of all, their own sin against God. And it's the same for us. Jesus didn't come into the world to give us a life of health, wealth, and prosperity, although God does take care of us very well. He didn't come into the world to rescue us from all our earthly enemies, although He does often protect us. No, Jesus came into the world to save us from our greatest enemy, our own sin against God. That's why we confess our sins at the beginning of the service and acknowledge that we need the forgiveness and the new life with God that only Jesus can give us. But unfortunately, these disciples on the road to Emmaus were confused as to the type of redemption that Jesus was going to bring them. And since they now thought He was dead, they thought, well, there's no way He can rescue us from the Romans now. And that's why they were sad. Well, while these two disciples were walking and talking and doubting God's word, Jesus appears to them. But we're told that Jesus intentionally keeps them from recognizing Him. Now, why would Jesus do that? I mean, if they could have seen Jesus and touched Him, they would have believed that He was alive and everything would have been fine, right? Wrong. Jesus knew that faith based on human reason, faith based on human senses, is not really true faith. So what does Jesus do? Well, listen to this part of the gospel reading again. He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter His glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning Himself." Now, even at this point, Jesus would not allow them to recognize Him. You see, Jesus wanted His words to sink in. Jesus wanted them to believe the scriptures, which teach that Jesus would die for our sin and then rise from the dead. Jesus wanted them to believe God's word. Jesus wanted them to trust God's word. Later that evening, Jesus gave them Holy Communion. Did you notice the language? He took bread, He broke it, He gave thanks. Same words He used earlier in Luke's gospel when He instituted the Lord's Supper the night before He is betrayed. And so Jesus gives them communion, and in that moment, they were allowed to recognize Him. But then, as soon as they recognized Him, he vanished. Why? Once again, Jesus wanted them to believe God's word and not believe simply because he was there. So how did they react? Luke writes, they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They now finally believed the scriptures. Those two disciples then went to Jerusalem and they told the others the same thing the women had told them earlier, that Jesus was alive. But some of them still doubted. Why? Well, either they had forgotten what Jesus had told them earlier about him dying and rising again, or if they did remember it, they simply refused to believe his words. But then, the risen Jesus himself suddenly appeared to them all. And I'd like you to listen to what Jesus says to them when he appears to them. Later in Luke 24, we read, Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Now, how does all this apply to us? Two ways, really. First, it should be obvious, we need to make it a priority in our lives to hear and read and study God's Word, because God's Word points us to Jesus, our Lord and Savior. The whole reason we have congregations like this is so that Christ, through his pastors and through fellow Christians talking to each other, can open the scriptures and find Jesus there. No wonder the devil tempts us to avoid church and to avoid Bible class and to not read our Bibles at home, but instead let them gather dust. He knows when we open the scriptures, they will lead us to Jesus. So we need to make it a priority, especially since we're so privileged that God has actually given us his word in our own language that we can read it. Secondly, as we hear and read and study God's word, we need to trust God's word as well as the witnesses he has given us. You see, it's one thing to know the Bible. It's another thing to actually trust it. Remember when Jesus was being tempted by the devil in the wilderness after his baptism? The devil actually quoted scripture to Jesus. Now, of course, he quoted it out of context. The point is, the devil himself knows the Bible. He just doesn't believe it. He doesn't trust it. So as you hear scripture, whether it's in the services like this, or in Bible class, or in family devotions, or in your own personal Bible reading time, the Holy Spirit actually moves you to trust God's word and know that it's true. So my friends, God has given us his holy scriptures in our own language, and we have the joy and privilege of hearing God's word preached in services, as well as studying God's word with our fellow Christians in Bible class. In fact, as we're going through the book of Exodus now, we're seeing how even that book of scripture points us ahead to Jesus. On top of that, we can read God's word during the week with our families. We can read God's word by ourselves as we meditate on his scriptures during our own private times with the Lord. You see, the more that we hear and read and study God's word, the more we will begin to hunger and thirst for it, especially because God's word points us to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, through whom we have forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God, and eternal life as his dearly loved children. In addition, as we hear, read, and study God's word, the Holy Spirit will move us to trust it with burning hearts of faith and devotion to the Lord. On top of that, the Holy Spirit will also move us to trust the witnesses that God has given us. Just like we trust history books that are written by people that tell us about certain key events in our own history, we trust the ultimate history book, God's own Word. And in His Word, we have the eyewitness testimonies who were there to hear Jesus preach, to see Him do miracles, to watch Him die, to see Him alive again, and to see Him ascend into heaven. So the Holy Spirit moves us to trust God's Word and witnesses. You see, the devil is constantly tempting us to doubt God's Word, as he did all the way back in the garden with Adam and Eve when he said, "Did God really say?" He especially wants us to doubt what the Bible says about Jesus. But there's no reason for us to doubt God's Word, because God would never lie to us. And as I've already mentioned, Holy Scripture is a reliable historical document which records for us the eyewitness testimonies of many people whom Jesus told and chose to be His witnesses. And these people were willing to suffer and die for the fact that Jesus is God's Son, our Lord, who died for our sins and conquered death for us. So just like Jesus' disciples, we are sometimes guilty of forgetting God's Word or even doubting it. But the good news is that we have forgiveness for all those sins through Jesus, who sacrificed Himself for us. All these disciples we heard about in our reading today had either forgotten God's Word or were doubting it. And yet, Jesus loves them and He forgives them as He loves you and forgives you, because He died for your sins. The good news is that we have a God who forgives those who confess their sins to Him. Our sin of failing to read and study God's Word, as well as our sin of doubting God's Word, there is forgiveness for all of that. Scripture teaches that Jesus came into this world to die in your place of damnation and then conquered death for you, so that you can live now and forever as God's dearly loved child. And my friends, as God continues to open the Scriptures to us, as He continues to show us how they are fulfilled in Jesus and His loving sacrifice for us, I promise you, our hearts will begin to burn with a passion for God's Word, and we will actually long to hear it and read it and study it. Finally, I want you to remember what Jesus Himself said. When He was with His apostles, He said, "This is what is written: the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Did you hear those final words? You are witnesses of these things. Now, granted, we're not the same as the eyewitnesses who actually saw Jesus, but indirectly we're also witnesses because we have their eyewitness testimonies that we can pass on to others. So just as Christ used His disciples to proclaim His Word to others, Christ has used believers throughout history, including us modern day believers, that's you and me, to continue His mission in this world. It starts with families just sharing the Word of God with each other and pointing each other to Jesus. It starts it with even larger families, the body of believers, like this one here at Concordia, where we gather together to worship the Lord and encourage each other in the faith and point each other to Jesus and study God's Word together. And then as God sends us out to the various places in our lives where we bump elbows with people of this world, some of them who do not yet trust in Jesus, God gives us opportunity to be His witnesses in the world today, and that's how His saving mission continues. And as we share God's Word with others, as we proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name, the good news is that the Holy Spirit will move more and more people to trust God's Word and His witnesses, which point us to Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who is with us today as we prepare to receive this holy meal. Amen.